Good morning. Come on in, everybody. Come and be seated. Just be comfortable. Be relaxed. We're going to make a start now on our time of reflection together. So just come and be seated, be ready. There's a few still at the door. Yeah, here they come. Just a few more, give them time to sit down. You're doing all right? You're awake. It's a good start. Yeah, that's great. Good. We'll make a start then. I'm Jill Stott, and I'm on the Activate team. It's my great joy to be able to share the final devotion of our Activate weekend together. And haven't we already had such a feast? Just cram full. So many good things and really inspiring and helpful ways that our keynote scripture verse for the weekend, Romans 12:1, has just been unpacked in so many different and inspiring ways for us, and it's just wonderful. And for myself, as I took time in preparation for today, just to reflect and pray and ask God, well, what shall I bring? The part of the verse that really stood out for me was a little bit in the middle, and this is what it says. Maybe we can just read it together. From the screen? You say that? Why don't we just read this together? Okay, here we go. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for him. That really caught my eye, and I thought, I am absolutely up for that. I want that. I want to do the best thing for God. Don't you? Yeah. And that word embracing, I love that word. Isn't it a really evocative word? It conjures up feelings and images of passion, of welcome, of holding, receiving, sometimes comforting. And like the little one in this picture, I love this picture. It also evokes great joy. And my hope is that as we spend the next few moments together, looking at embracing what God does for us, that we will also have a joy uplift. I'm all for that. Are you? I'm after more joy, and I hope you are too. So we're going to look at embracing what God does for us, and that's a big question, isn't it? I mean, what is it? What are we embracing? What is it that God does for us? And I'm sure each one of us could come back with an answer to that, and they would be really good answers. But today, I want to focus on an answer to that question that may not spring quite so readily to mind. And it's this. What God does for us is he comes in that precious person of his Holy Spirit. He comes and reminds us of what he has already done for us. What he does is he reminds us of what he has done. And maybe you could say, well, isn't that just playing with words, playing with tenses? You know, it's all the same thing. Actually, no, it really, really isn't the same thing at all. The world of does and the world of done are completely separate, different realms, actually. Because in the realm of does, what God does, it's, well, yeah, he does do that. He's able to do that for me. But it hasn't quite yet happened. It's yet to be done for me. In the world of what God has done, that is finished, that is completed, that is fully in place. It's a done deal. And I hope to show in the next few moments that when we walk in that realm, that is a real important key to us walking, waking, working, walking, all that we had in the verse. That is so key to us walking in victory, in hope, in fullness, and in joy. And that's what we're going to look at. We're going to take a look at what is it that God has done for us that we can embrace. And we could go in so many different directions, but I have narrowed it down to just a few ways. And top of the list, way, way, way at the top, the single most significant thing that God has done for us after sending his son to live on earth, to die a death, to be raised again for us, after that, the most significant thing that God has done for us is he has placed us in his son. For anyone who has believed and received Jesus, he has placed us in the life, the death, the resurrection, and the ascension of his son. We are in Christ. And that is a huge mystery that not even the Apostle Paul could unravel that. And I'm not even going to try at all. But what I'd like to do now is I just want to show you a really simple visual illustration, and I want to draw a particular point from it to help us with this whole thing of walking in what God has done for us. So it's always a bit of a risk doing things like this, but here we go. Okay. It's not Ribena. I'm not going to drink it. Right. I have here a plastic pot container. In Jesus' time, it would have been clay, but we're in the 21st century, so mine's plastic. It has a lid, and there are clasps that make the lid stay on. So let this pot represent me, myself. Could be you, but let it represent me. And this is me before I knew God, before I had received Jesus for myself. So I have a lid, and the lid is shut with these clasps on it. Let this jug, actually not the jug, but the water in the jug, let that represent Christ. He can never be contained because he's immeasurably immeasurable. So it's the water in the jug. That's representing Christ. So before I knew God, I am here. He is in there. I am separate. I am independent. I am distant. I am not connected to him. Then the Holy Spirit began to work on me, and he began to work on my self-sufficiency, my independence, my pride, my self-reliance. And a day came when I said to him, I can't do this anymore. I don't want to live on my own without you, God. I need you. I really, really need you. And at that point, my lid came off and my heart was open to him. And at that very second, he plunged me completely inside his son. I was plunged, I was immersed, I was submerged. The Bible calls it baptized. I was baptized into his death, his life, his resurrection. I was in Christ. And so I still am, and so are you. And even more than that, now this is for illustrative purposes only because this doesn't really happen. I'm just winching myself out because once we're in there, we're in there for good. We don't bop in and out. We're in there. But not only did I get plunged into Christ, but he's in me. He's in me. I'm in Christ, and he's in me. And what I want us to observe and just take hold of from this illustration is that there is no separation. There is no distance, there is no absence, there is no lack. There is only oneness, closeness, union, shared life in Christ. Well, that's great, Jill. Thank you for that. Yeah, I like that. But what does that mean for me in my everyday waking, walking, working world. I'm going to look at a few things that are really important impacts of this truth for us as we go out there to walk with our Jesus. First of all, because he has already put me in Christ, he's done that, it's a done deal, because I'm in there, that separation that I can sometimes feel between me, myself, a very imperfect person, and him, that perfect, holy God, that separation I feel, that is gone. That is no more. That distance, that lack of connection, that absence, that's gone. Because he's put me in his son, that separation between myself, imperfect me, and perfect God, that's finished. That's been done away with. I share his life, and his life is perfect life. So as God sees me, he's not looking at my imperfect behavior. That's not what defines me before my God. I share the life of Christ, his perfect behavior for all time. And that never changes. Even when I don't do well in my day, I am in Christ. In other words, he has made me, you, perfectly pleasing to the Father all the time. Yes, even when I screw up, I get it wrong, and that person pushed in front of me in the queue, and I did not have a holy reaction. Didn't like it. It's none of you in here, so don't worry about that. But even when I mess up and I get it wrong, I am still perfectly pleasing to the Father. That sounds quite Mary Poppins-esque, doesn't it? But you know, she is way better than Mary Poppins. She was only practically perfect. We are perfectly, perfectly perfect. Perfectly pleasing to the Father. Because we share the life of Christ, the perfect one. And that's what pleases the Father. So that means then, you know, I think we can use terminology like, I'm righteous in Christ, I'm holy, I'm accepted, I'm perfect in Christ, I'm justified. It's like sometimes we can hear those words and we can go, yeah, 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 cool, yeah, yeah, I know that, yeah, that's really good. Yeah, I'm righteous in Christ, yeah, yeah. But actually, there isn't really a connection on the inside of us. It's like, it's almost like we're using religious buzzwords, like cliches. You know, we say them, but they don't really connect with what's going on inside. A little bit like the chap we're going to see on this little clip now. Poor guy, he is completely hapless. And fans of W1A, you're going to love this. If you don't know what I'm talking about in that, don't worry. This is a fictional character, Will. He's an intern for the BBC, and he's very well-meaning, but really quite hapless, and he has completely bungled a very simple task of putting letters inside named envelopes. Here he is.
How about leaving you here?
No, that's cool. It's my own fault. It's just sometimes you just need to try harder.
It's just I've got to go to this screening with Simon.
You know what? Cool, yeah, that's cool, yeah, no worries.
Okay, well,
We good?
Yes, just come in here.
Brilliant. A rotten bad luck in the envelope department, Will.
Yeah, I know, yeah, crap.
Still, what doesn't kill you makes you stronger, I guess.
No, that's cool.
Good-o.
See you in the morning, Will.
Yeah, that's cool, yeah, see you, Izzy.
Good night, Will.
Yeah, see you in the morning. Yeah, cool.
Love Will. Love him. He's gets everything wrong. I love that. But actually, I think we can be a bit like that. I know I can be a bit like that. I can hear the good words of truth, that I'm righteous, I'm clean, I'm accepted, I'm in Christ. I can hear all that stuff and say, yeah, 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 cool, yeah. But actually, what's really connecting with me inside is more like when Will is consoled by the girl, sorry to leave you here. Oh, yeah, yeah, no, sometimes I just need to try harder. So when God comes to me with, darling, you are perfectly perfect in my sight. You are clean. You are pure. There's no blemish or spot or wrinkle in you. When he comes and tells me that, I can go, yeah, 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 cool. But sometimes I just need to try harder because that's what really is going on the inside of me. identify? Yeah. And Father wants to come and assure us and get us really settled in this truth in our hearts for good. You are perfectly pleasing to me 100% of the time, whatever kind of day you're having. And this is so, so important that we do have this settled in our minds and in our hearts, because otherwise, I know for me, if I don't really believe that, if I don't really walk in the good of that, I become a sitting target for the lies of the enemy. He will come slinking up to me. He loves to do it in worship, by the way. That's the time the enemy loves to strike, because he knows how worship is so key to us having intimacy with God and for power being released. He will slide up, won't he? And he'll just come and say, singing that love song to Jesus, "You don't love Jesus. You don't love anyone but yourself. What are you doing singing those words to Jesus? You're a fake. You're a sham." And especially when we want to go out, when we want to serve and we want to take the good news outside, we want to minister to others, up he comes again. "What makes you think you've got anything to offer anyone else? You can't even serve your own family. You're selfish. You're a fake. If those people knew what you really like, they wouldn't want to come anywhere near you." Sound familiar? The enemy wants to derail us from knowing this truth and walking into this truth. If we're not settled in that, if we aren't able to push back and say, "Back off, devil. I am 100% pleasing to the Father. I'm perfect in every way because I'm in Christ." If we don't know that, then we're just going to stand back on the sidelines. We're going to be disempowered, disillusioned, depressed, when all the while, Father is saying, "No, daughter, you're my righteous one. You can be as bold as a lion." That's in scripture, isn't it? The righteous shall be as bold as a lion. Those who know they have been made righteous because they are in Christ, they can be as bold as a lion. Do you love that picture? Believe. Believe. The second thing that God has done for us because we are in Christ, he has already made us, just like Jesus, his most cherished, beloved child. You know, I'm God's favorite girl. So are you. Just like Jesus is his favorite son, you're his favorite girl. And he can have many, many favorites all at the same time and genuinely, authentically mean that and view us as that, as his favorite ones all at the same time. I don't know how he does that, but he does. I'm his favorite girl. And because I'm his favorite daughter, I have priority access to my heavenly Father, and especially to the ear of my Father and the voice of my heavenly Father. I have special priority access because I'm his favorite girl. I'm going to take you back in time. I don't even know which year this was in. I think it was in the 90s. Could have even been the 80s. I don't know. But it was the film Anna and the King. Seen it? Yeah. So you know it's about the King of Siam, King Mongkut. And he is revered as a god. He has a very, very large household. Many wives, many concubines, many children. And among all these many, many children, there is one who is his absolute favorite girl. Her name is Fei Ying. There she is with her daddy. She's his favorite girl. She's a cheeky little monkey. She's adorable. But a day comes when King Mongkut is holding court. There he is in his throne room, literally on his throne, up a golden flight of steps, and he's holding court. Someone new is being presented to the court, and all the protocols are being followed. So the courtiers are bowed low, their heads to the ground, because no one stands in the presence of the king. You certainly don't stand and talk in the presence of the king, and least of all, sorry to say this, women never stand and talk in the presence of the king. So all the protocols are being followed when, in through the ornate big double doors that lead into the throne room trots a little figure. You can just see her. I'm so sorry. That was the best one I could do. She comes through the double doors, along the aisle that leads to the throne, begins to ascend the steps leading up to the throne where her king father is seated and attempts to clamber on his lap. Oh my goodness. What is going to happen? Is a courtier going to be summoned? Quickly, quickly, come and remove this child. Take her away. I'll see to her later. Punishment will come. No, that doesn't happen. She clambers up on his lap. What does he do? He inclines his ear towards her. What has she got to come and say? I want to hear it. He intently listens to every word. And then, on consequence of that, he lifts her up in his arms, leaves the courtroom, the whole proceedings, and goes out to attend to the issue that she has brought to his attention. She's his favorite girl. She has priority access to the ear and the voice of her father. And so do we. So do you. I think this is a really big issue, a really big important point, because I think that for many of us, we disqualify ourselves from being able to hear the Father's voice for us. We can get into thinking that actually I have to follow protocols in order to earn an audience with my Heavenly Father. I have to do certain things in order to earn his voice to me. Pray, I have to worship so much, do good things, be in church, whatever it is. We can get into that thing of protocols as well. But the Father is saying, no, 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 you're my favorite girl. You can come anytime. You can tell me anything. My ear is intently listening to you. The enemy, I believe, has an assignment to shut us down from hearing or believing that we can hear the voice of God. Because isn't there something amazing in the voice of God? When we hear him for ourselves, doesn't it impact the whole of who we are in ways that we can't even really describe? He reaches us at so many different levels and imparts so many things all at the same time. There is life in his voice. There is life in the voice of our Heavenly Father. And the enemy wants to stop us from receiving it because it's so powerful. And that's not just for ourselves, is it? Because the voice of God has life in it that we are meant to take to others who don't yet know him. There are things that God wants to deposit in you to be released to others. There are words of life that you get to release to others. And the enemy wants to stop you by making you believe, I'm not in that place. I'm just not one of those people that really hears God. You know, not like that, whoever. But that's not true. You have every right and every ability to hear the voice of God. And by the voice, I don't just mean the voice, like hearing his voice either internally or outside. I mean any of the ways that God wants to communicate with us. And he's so creative. It's through so many different ways of communicating, through what we see, through circumstances, through so many things. That voice, that is our inheritance because we're in Christ. To hear the voice of God, it's so, so important. If I can be personal for a few moments, one of the things I most love to do, maybe the thing I most love to do, actually, is to go into public places, shopping areas, high streets, marketplaces, wherever, and I just love to just stand and wait and ask the Holy Spirit, who do you want to encounter? Who do you want to speak to? Who do you want to release a word of encouragement, some insight into their life, into who they are, how they're made? Who is it? And I'll wait, and I'll just wait for him to highlight someone and for him to bring a word to release to them, something encouraging for their life. And then I'll go and release that to that person. And I've just seen amazing things happen in the middle of high streets, just incredible things. But I'll tell you this, way before I ever get to open my mouth and talk to that person, I will tell you, a whole barrage of thoughts can assault my mind. You know, the enemy can come in and say, look at them. Those people are busy. They don't need you interrupting what they're doing. They've got a business to run. Who do you think you are coming with a message from God? They're not going to want you to do that. Who do you think you are? Oh, you know, Jill, you're not really in the right place today. You know, you're tired. You haven't really flowed in worship. You haven't really prayed much today. I don't think you've read the Bible recently. I mean, you're not really in the right place, are you? And if I listen to that voice, and if I take that voice as the voice of the Holy Spirit, then I'm just gonna retreat back. I'm gonna shut down and stand back, and that voice, that word will never get released. But if I know, no, hang on a minute. I have priority access to the ear and the voice of my Father. I'm going to hear him because I'm his favorite girl, and I have words of life to give to other people. Then if I know that, I can push through that whole barrage of stuff and release what he has for the sake of others. And so can you. Your audience may not be the same, your setting. It could be completely different. It's where you work, it's your home, it's your family, your neighborhood, whatever it is. But the voice of the Father, it's your priority access. That is your inheritance because he's put you in his Son. You're his favorite girl. Please hear that. You're his favorite girl. And finally, as if that wasn't enough already. Finally, because he has put me in Christ, he has completely eradicated the separation, the absence, the distance between me, you, and all the blessings and resources that I need to walk a full and powerful and victorious life in him. All the resources that I need, he has given us, phenomenal provision. He's bridged the gap. So those things that I need to live the life, that waking, walking, working life, he's bridged that gap so they are completely there and ready for me to lay hold of. No more gap and absence. And, you know, I think many of us can live from a place of lack and longing. That, well, I don't have that yet. Oh, God, please. Why don't you? Where is it? When? How long? We can live like that, actually. When all the while God is saying, everything you need, child, I've already given it to you. It's already there. It's already available. There's a verse in Ephesians. This is just an amazing verse. We're going to read this together, okay? Can you read that? Is that clear enough? Okay, let's go for it. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. I just want to make a few observations about this verse. Number one, all the blessings that we need, they're in Christ. There is not a single blessing, resource, provision that you will ever need that is not in Christ. The blessings that we need, they are not somewhere far out on a heavenly cloud, somewhere out there. They're not. They're all in him. Every blessing, provision, resource you need, they are in Christ. Where are you? In Christ. How big is the gap between me and the blessings I need? Zero. Because I'm in Christ, and all the blessings I need and the resources I need, they're in Christ. That's to begin with. Then, I think we can get a bit tripped up on the terms spiritual blessings and heavenly places. And I think our minds sometimes can go to believe that they're things that are kind of a little bit airy-fairy, a little bit ethereal. We don't really know quite what they are. What are spiritual blessings? I don't really know. I think they're out there somewhere, you know, on wispy, floaty. Maybe angels know about them, and super, super spiritual people, mystic-y kind of people, they might know about them, but oh, I don't know really what they are. Spiritual blessings, simply, are blessings that originate in the Holy Spirit. They come from the Spirit of God. So basically, for every kind of blessing. Every blessing that we have originates in the Holy Spirit. You know, Jesus, when he ministered on earth, he never did a single thing, not one thing apart from the Holy Spirit. Nothing. He didn't preach a sermon without the Holy Spirit. He didn't multiply bread. He didn't change water into wine. He didn't heal the sick, raise the did nothing apart from the Holy Spirit. All the blessings we need originate from the Holy Spirit. And because I'm in Christ, because you are, you have full availability. You have full access to every resource and blessing that you could need. The thing is, though, is that often we operate from the outside in rather from the inside out. So, for example, let's say I'm in a situation and I need peace, a lot of peace. So there's two ways I could pray. I can pray the outside in way, which is, God, I really need peace. I really, really need your peace. Please, God, when are you going to come? Why haven't I got your peace yet? Why can't I feel your peace? I really need you to come and give me your peace right now. Please, God, how long, how long? That's from the realm of does, maybe. I know you do give peace, God, but I don't have it now. And when is it coming? And it's outside in. The other way of praying is from the inside out, because I know what God has done for me, which is, God, I really need your peace. I so need your peace today. But God, I thank you. I thank you that I am in your Son, and he is the Prince of Peace, and the Prince of Peace lives in me. And your peace is here right now, God, and I'm just leaning in. I'm taking hold of that peace now, Father. Thank you. Thank you that your peace is already within me. And I just take hold of it now. Thank you, Father. See the difference? And that goes for joy, that goes for courage, that goes for wisdom, healing, freedom, whatever it is we need. He's already provided it. What's our role then? Our role is to embrace what he has done. How? Always by faith. There's no other way. Always by faith. We lay hold of what he's already provided. Peace, joy, freedom. What is it you need? What is it you need? It's already there. That language of lack and longing, we don't need to be talking that. We can be talking the language of faith. Thank you, God. You've already provided that. You've already given me that in your Son. And I just embrace it now. I lay hold of it now. I receive it. I hold it. I welcome what you have already done. And that is the way to great joy in our walk with God. Thank you, Father. What a wonderful, wonderful Savior. Amen. I'd like to lead us in just a short time of prayer, just so we can just make these things our own. If you want to join, do that. You don't have to. But we're just going to close our eyes and just have a time of just asking God to help us make these things real for us. Yeah, Father, would you just come now by your wonderful Holy Spirit? And we know that he loves to take the things of God and make them ours. So, Holy Spirit, we're inviting you to come and take these words of truth and make them become ours, real for me today. Thank you that the gospel is a gospel of rest and receiving. It is not a gospel of striving, climbing, pushing. It's one of resting and receiving what you have gloriously done in Christ Jesus. For me. And if there is anyone in the room who you're not really even sure that the lid ever did come off your heart, you're not even really sure if you are in Christ, but you think you want to be. Why not let him do that for you today? Why not ask him for that now? I'm going to pray a prayer out loud. Would you, even if you do know Christ and you're in Christ, Can we all pray this together? Let's just follow this together. Father God, today I say yes to the lid coming off my heart and to you coming in. I don't want to live independent of you, distant from you anymore. I receive what you have done for me by sending your precious Son, Jesus Christ, to live as a man, to die on the cross, and to be raised up again for me. I want to be placed inside your Son and to remain in him forever. Jesus, I embrace you now. Thank you that today I have become your dearly loved child. And there may be someone who's prayed that for the very first time. And if that is the case, would you come and talk to me afterwards or find one of the Activate team? And we want to embrace you and help you as you begin the most wonderful journey walking with this beautiful Jesus. If you struggle to come to your Heavenly Father without feeling like you need to go through certain protocols to earn an audience with him, if you feel that you don't measure up, you're not really good enough, you don't really feel like there's a welcome for him, from him, at his throne room, would you like to pray this now? And again, there's no pressure. If you want to pray it, pray it. If you don't, that's okay. Just follow me. Father God, I renounce the lie that I have to earn the right to hear my Father's voice. Because I am in Christ, I have free access all the time to my Heavenly Father, just as Jesus does. I'm his favorite girl. I can come anytime. He is attentive to me. I'm made to hear his voice. I'm made to release his words of truth over myself and over others. Thank you, Father, that you have good, kind things to say to me. And Father, I thank you that all the blessings, all the resources, all the provision that we could possibly need to live a full, victorious life in you have already been made available because I am in Christ, whatever my circumstances may be. I am already full and complete in him. Your kingdom is at hand. It is not far. Would you help me? Help me, please, Father, to draw on your kingdom resources instead of drawing on my own abilities or even on my unbelief. Holy Spirit, I acknowledge that every blessing, everyone, originates in you. And your blessings are strong. They're substantial, they're rugged, they're not airy-fairy, wispy things. They're strong, they hold me. They help me in times when I need it. Thank you. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you love to come and remind me of all the wonderful things that the Father has done for me. Thank you. I choose today to lean in and embrace what is mine through Christ. Help me give up that language of longing and lack and absence and distance and separation. Help me change my language, Father, so I can speak out instead the wonderful provision that you've already made. You've already won for me through Jesus Christ. Amen.